by Darren Shan. The Saga of Darren Shan, Book 1. Kindly brought to you by the English teachers and other staff members from Courtfield School for your listening pleasure.
Early morning would be the best time to steal the spider. Having performed so late into the night, most members of the Cirque du Freak would probably sleep in until 8 or 9. I'd sneak into camp, find Madame Octa, grab her and run. If that wasn't possible, if the camp was active, I'd simply return home and forget about it. The difficult part was picking a day. Wednesday was ideal. The last show would have played the night before, so the circus would in all likelihood have pulled out before midday and moved on to its next venue before the vampire could awaken and discover the theft. But what if they left town directly after the show, in the middle of the night? Then I'd miss my big chance. No, it had to be tomorrow, Tuesday. That meant Mr. Crepsley would have the whole of Tuesday night to search for his spider, for me. But that was a risk I'd just have to take. I went to bed a bit earlier than usual. I was tired and ready to fall asleep, but I was so excited I thought I wouldn't be able to. I kissed Mum goodnight and shook Dad's hand. They thought I was trying to win my pocket money back, but it was in case something happened to me at the theatre and I never saw them again. I have a radio which is also an alarm clock. I set the alarm to 5 o'clock in the morning and then stuck my headphones on and plugged them into the radio. That way I could wake up nice and early without waking anybody else. I fell asleep quicker than I expected, and I slept straight through until morning. If I had any dreams, I can't remember them. Next thing I knew, the alarm was sounding. I groaned, turned over and sat up in bed, rubbing my eyes. I wasn't sure where I was for a few seconds, or why I was awake so early. Then I remembered the spider and the plan, and I grinned happily. The grin didn't last long, because I realised the alarm wasn't coming from my headphones. I must have rolled over in my sleep and pulled the cord out. I leapt across my bed and slammed the alarm off, then sat in the early morning darkness, heart pounding, listening for noises. When I was sure my parents were still asleep, I slid out of bed and got dressed as quietly as I could. I went to the toilet and was about to flush when I thought of the noise it would make. I yanked my hand away from the lever and wiped the sweat from my brow. They would surely have heard that. A narrow escape. I'd have to be more careful when I got to the theatre. I slipped downstairs and let myself out. The sun was on its way up and it looked like it was going to be a bright day. I walked quickly and sang songs to pep me up. I was a bundle of nerves and almost turned back a dozen times. Once, I actually did turn and start walking home. But then I remembered the way the spider had hung from Mr. Crepsley's jaws and the trick she'd performed and swung around again. I can't explain why Madame Octa meant so much to me, or why I was placing my life in such peril to have her. Looking back, I'm no longer sure what drove me on. It was simply a dreadful need that I couldn't ignore. The crumbling old building looked even creepier by day. I could see cracks running down the front, holes nibbled by rats and mice, spider webs in the windows. I shivered and hurried round to the rear. It was deserted. Empty old houses, junkyards, scrap heaps. There would be people moving about later in the day, but right now it looked like a ghost town. I didn't even see a cat or a dog. As I'd thought, there were plenty of ways to get into the theatre. There were two doors and loads of windows to choose from. Several cars and vans were parked outside the building. I didn't spot any signs or pictures on them, but I was sure they belonged to the Cirque du Freak. It suddenly struck me that the freaks most probably slept in the vans. If Mr. Crepsley had a home in one of them, my plan was sunk. I snuck into the theatre, which felt even colder than it had been on Saturday night, and tiptoed down a long corridor, then another. It was like a maze back here, and I started worrying about finding my way out. Maybe I should go back and bring a ball of string so I can mark my way, and no, it was too late for that. If I left, I'd never have the guts to return. I'd just have to remember my steps as best as I could and say a little prayer when it came time to leave. I saw no sign of any freaks and began to think I was on a fool's errand, that they were all in the vans or in nearby hotels. I'd been searching for 20 minutes and my legs felt heavy after so much walking. Maybe I should quit and forget the crazy plan. I was about to give up when I found a set of stairs leading down to a cellar. I paused at the top for ages, biting my lips and wondering if I should go down. I'd seen enough horror films to know that this was the most likely spot for a vampire, but I'd also seen loads where the hero walked down to a similar cellar, only to be attacked, murdered, and chopped up into little pieces. Finally, I took a deep breath and started down. My shoes were making too much noise, so I eased them off and padded along in just my socks. I picked up loads of splinters, but I was so nervous I didn't feel the pain. There was a huge cage near the bottom of the stairs. I edged over to it and looked through the bars. The wolfman was inside, lying on his back asleep and snoring. He twitched and moaned as I watched. I jumped back from the cage. If he woke, his howls would bring the whole freak show down on me in seconds. As I was stumbling backwards, my foot hit something soft and slimy. I turned my head slowly and saw I was standing over the snake boy. He was stretched out on the floor, his snake wrapped around him, and his eyes were wide open. I don't know how I managed not to scream or faint, but somehow I kept quiet and stayed on my feet, and that saved me. Because even though the snake boy's eyes were open, he was fast asleep. I knew by the way he was breathing, deeply, heavily, in and out. I tried not to think about what would have happened if I'd fallen on him and the snake and woken them up. Enough was enough. I gave one last look around the dark cellar, promising myself I'd leave if I didn't spot the vampire. For a few seconds, I saw nothing, and I got ready to scram. But then I noticed what might have been a large box near one of the walls. It might have been a large box, but it wasn't. I knew all too well what it really was. It was a coffin. I gulped, then walked carefully over to the coffin. It was about 2 metres long and 80 centimetres wide. The wood was dark and stained. Moss was growing in patches, and I could see a family of cockroaches in one of the corners. I'd love to say I was brave enough to lift the lid and peek inside. But of course I wasn't, and I didn't. Even the thought of touching the coffin gave me the shivers. I searched for Madame Octa's cage. I felt sure she wouldn't be far from her master, and right enough, there was the cage, on the floor by the head of the coffin, and covered in a big red cloth. I glanced inside to make sure, and there she was, her belly pulsing, her 8 legs twitching. She looked horrible and terrifying this close-up, and for a second I thought about leaving her. All of a sudden it seemed like a stupid idea, and the thought of touching her hairy legs or letting her anywhere near my face filled me with dread. But only a true coward would turn back now, so I picked up the cage and laid it in the middle of the cellar. The key was hanging from the lock and one of the flutes was tied to the bars at the side. I took out the note I had written back home the night before. It was simple, but it had taken me ages to write. I read it as I stuck it to the top of the coffin with a piece of gum. Mr. Crepsley, I know who and what you are. I have taken Madame Octa and am keeping her. Do not come looking for her. Do not come back to this town. If you do, I will tell everyone that you are a vampire and you will be hunted down and killed. I am not Steve. Steve knows nothing about this. I will take good care of the spider. Of course, I didn't sign it. Mentioning Steve probably wasn't a good idea, but I was sure the vampire would think of him anyway, so it was just as well to clear his name. With the note pinned in place, it was time to go. I picked up the cage and hurried up the stairs as fast as I could, being as silent as possible. I slipped my shoes back on and found my way out. It was easier than I'd imagined. The halls looked brighter after the dark of the cellar. When I got outside, I walked slowly round to the front of the theatre, then ran for home, stopping for nothing, leaving the theatre and the vampire and my fear far behind, leaving everything far behind, except for Madame Octa.
Listening, and tune in shortly for the next exciting instalment of Cirque du Freak. Well, thank you from the English teachers and other staff members from Courtfield School. The music Sneaky Snitch by Kevin MacLeod is provided by incomputech.filmmusic.io. Licensed by creativecommons.org.